or computer in digital crystal clear audio. Browse to voiceofmuscatine.com and click on the Listen Live button.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Hello there, and welcome to God Talk. Today I'd like to talk about a subject that actually I had a recent conversation regarding, and a person wanted me to talk about. Forgiveness. It's a subject that has enormous importance. Certainly does to all of our relationships, especially our relationship with ourself and with God. Yet forgiveness is a subject that most of us prefer to avoid, especially our need to be forgiven for what we've done, sins, we'll get to that in a second, against God and other people. We would rather focus on what others have done against us rather than what we have done. Yet the Lord's Prayer, the central prayer in Christianity, Jesus' prayer to us, indicates that forgiveness was important enough to ask for it right after asking for our daily bread. Most all of us know this. Refrain, this part of the prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not just forgive us any wrongs we've committed, God, but forgive us as we, in the same way, as we forgive those who have wronged us. Okay, reality is without some means for gaining and maintaining forgiveness, no relationship can endure, you know? Sometimes you have to unplug the machine and turn it on again to get the virus, to get whatever it is that was wrong within it out. And that certainly includes our relationship with God. So vital is forgiveness as a restorative agent to right relationships with God and each other, that Jesus came actually in order to secure it, however profound that may be for us. Secure it by sacrificing his own life for our sake, by, so to say, taking upon himself the penalty for all the wrongs we've committed against God, others, ourselves, so that we might be forgiven and go free in order to have a new, an eternal relationship with God. The analogy has been used. Imagine going to court with some violation, some transgression that you have committed, that I have committed. And the judge announces the guilty verdict. And Jesus steps in front of you and says, okay, I'm going to take the penalty so you can begin again, so you can start over. Let me tell you for a second what we're talking about when we talk about sin, because it's not something, I suppose, that many pastors want to preach about or people want to talk about, but it's very understandable. First of all, the word itself, biblically sin, comes from archery, and it means to miss the mark. Have you ever shot a bow and arrow? I sure used to love it as a kid. Well, you have a target, right? And you aim after it. Same thing with darts. When you miss it, technically you sin. Now, who sets the mark? Who puts that bullseye out there is God. God intends certain things for us, for our own behavior, for what we do for God, for others, and for ourselves. And when we miss the mark, we sin. Put a different way, to be more specific, sin is the conscious, really willful, on purpose, violation of love, the law of love, doing our best for others and for ourselves. In the institution of the Lord's Supper, this sacred Lord's Supper, Jesus lifts up a cup of wine and says to his disciples, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Wow. His shed blood implements our forgiveness, dying for our sakes. Now, why we would have to explain that, I'd have to take time to go back into the biblical understanding of sacrifice and what is necessary to restore a relationship. I don't have the time to go there. Just trust me. It's all about getting in a right situation, a right stance with God through Jesus' action of giving his life for our sake. The forgiveness of God, which Christ brought, is offered absolutely free. Here it is. Take it. It's free. However, there is a single condition, well, at least a central condition, set forth by the giver. In order to actually receive, to make operative in our soul and life God's forgiveness, we have to be willing to forgive others. And of course, we also need to be willing to forgive ourselves. You know, God is far more willing to forgive than we are to receive. That's just reality. Yet God still requires that we become forgiving so that we can take in, access, digest, swallow that which God wills to give us in Christ. Again, Jesus tells us to pray, "Forgive us as we forgive." Now, to underline our need to forgive others in order for God to forgive us, immediately after he teaches us his prayer in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus adds, very first thing after that prayer, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Wow. Is this not a pretty difficult condition for us to meet? Few of us readily accept this provision for receiving God's forgiveness that is in fact offered to us in Christ. Few of us can easily pray and mean, "Oh Lord, let your forgiveness of me be no different in kind or condition or extent than my forgiveness of others." It's God who's added this provision, seemingly more of a burden than a blessing. It is God who says, "The way you forgive others, okay, the way you forgive others is the way I'm going to forgive you." How do you like that? You know, in Luke 6, Jesus says much the same thing. The way you judge others is the way you shall be judged. The way you give is the way you shall receive. The way you forgive is the way you shall be forgiven. Don't we have a problem here? Because aren't we by nature not all that forgiving? I mean, really from the heart. We can say, "Oh, I forgive you," but not really mean it. We are prone to hardness of heart, long memories, and maybe even a will for vengeance. Jesus zeroes in on our problem in the troubling parable of the unforgiving steward. Oh, this is one of the great parables. It's in Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35, if you want to check it out. I'm going to read it for you in a second. The parable reveals the will of God as well as the contrary will. Make that the willfulness of humanity. It's actually designed to make us uncomfortable. It sure makes me uncomfortable. Always makes me uncomfortable. To point out what we surely do not enjoy recognizing in ourselves. So this is in Matthew 18, which is the great chapter about forgiveness, what's required. And I just want to start at this point, and we'll go a little bit further back later. Beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold. Yikes. Together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. Wow. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused, and he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will do also to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Isn't that a little troubling? Yeah. Now, let's look at the flow here of this parable. A master decides to settle accounts with all of his servants. One servant owes him 10,000 talents. Okay. A talent in those days was worth more than 15 years wages for a laborer. That equals 150,000 days or 410 years. I mean, how many lifetimes would it take to pay that off, huh? So it's more than the servant can ever pay back. Since the servant cannot pay, the master, as is his legal right, orders that he, his wife and children, and all his worldly possessions be sold to the highest bidder. So the servant has one recourse. He falls before his master and begs for merciful patience, foolishly vowing to pay back the entire amount. Yeah, right. The master, knowing the servant cannot ever pay back the sum, nevertheless has pity on him, and with remarkable and inexplicable compassion, he forgives or cancels the entire debt. Of course, note, as we find out quickly, that to forgive does not mean to forget, but do not think about. We are not told of the servant's reaction to this miraculous turn of events, to this gracious gift of his life back to him along with his wife and children and earthly possessions. What we are told is that right after the master has forgiven him his unpayable debt, he meets a fellow servant on the road home on the way back to the life he had nearly lost. That servant owes him a mere 100 denarii, a denarii being a day's wage for laborers, so that's 100 days' wages. The scene unfolds as the prior scene between the master and the servant, the fellow servant, just like this other guy, begs for merciful patience to pay back the debt, vowing he will do so. Something that is actually possible, whereas the other's debt was not. What Jesus' listeners probably expected was that the first servant would be able to identify with the second servant. Hey, man, I know how you feel. It was just there. And feeling the self-same kind of pity that the Lord did, that he would have shown mercy and forgiven the other as he had just been forgiven. Nope. Instead, the first servant's heart remained as hard as ever. And he has the man thrown into prison until he can pay the entire debt. And of course, when other servants see how cruel and callous this first servant is in view of the prior forgiveness afforded him, they report the noxious exchange to the master. And how does that master feel? Outraged. Outraged. Wouldn't you be outraged? He has the first servant brought back to him, and he says, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" Let's just stop here a minute and let that scenario sink in as we get the weather report.
And Color Weather Radar, available 24 hours a day at www.voiceofmuscatine.com.
Hi, this is Sylvan Reed. I've been working on cars for 29 years around Muscatine. Come see us at Uptown Motor Service Department. Full parts and service for working people on a budget. Remember, Uptown Motor Service Department. Call us today to keep your car running down the road.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 59. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 45. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy. I'm WeatherEye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
When you want the most music for your workday, just press AM 860 or FM 95.1 for KWPC, continuous country favorites.
Okay, we're back. So here's the master and the once forgiven slave who was not gracious and forgiving to someone who owed him considerably less. So what does the master do? He revokes his prior cancellation of the debt. And now he has the man handed over to a much worse fate than before. Now, not only is he going to be in prison, but he's going to be tortured until he pays back somehow the entire amount, which, of course, he's never going to be able to do. Therefore, he's turned over to eternal torment, when just a short time ago he had received undeserved mercy and complete forgiveness, restored life, a new beginning. What an unforgiving fool, idiot he was. He just never got it. He never understood what was going on in his master's heart. And what he was supposed to go on in his own heart and do as a consequence of his master's gracious forgiveness. To make the parable even more pointedly uncomfortable, Jesus concludes it by saying, "So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Hey, words are cheap, folks. Lord knows I've told people I forgave them when I really didn't, but I just wanted them to think I did, just to get off the hook or whatever, to buy time so I can get over something, I guess. Most of us have one or another degree of unforgiveness in our hearts. Do you agree? Which urges us to refuse both the offer of God's forgiveness, because wherever there's unforgiveness, it's like a black hole in the heart, and you have to say no to forgiveness, even if it's unforgiveness, especially of yourself. Wow. Got to refuse the offer of God's forgiveness as well as forgiving someone else, even ourselves. Rather than to forgive, most of us would prefer to pay back, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We want the one who wronged us to suffer consequences sufficient to satisfy our hunger for justice. Most of us fear forgiving because the wrongdoer would get off scot-free and we would be rendered vulnerable to repeat transgressions. Okay, what does forgiveness mean? It means to give another person a new chance, to wipe the slate clean so that the other and we ourselves can move beyond the wrongdoing. Okay, just before telling this parable of the unforgiving steward, Jesus has a pivotal exchange with Peter, which I want to turn to now, that concerns the meaning and process of actually forgiving. Jesus says that forgiveness is a process which begins with what? Something very difficult for us, the confrontation of the wrongdoer. You got to tell someone if they've wronged you. Here's the process that Jesus outlines. This is also from Matthew, preceding the parable, verses 15, 17. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. Note how kind that is. I remember as a freshman at the University of Florida, one of the first true Christians I ever met, I had done something that offended him. It was stupid of me. I've done my share of wrong things. So he asked me to come into his room. He closed the door, and he gently told me how I had offended him. And he was right. And, of course, I apologized, and I meant it. And I was so shocked at his sensitivity, because there were other guys. We were playing tackle football in the hall. I mean, come on. But, you know, freshman, 18. I never forgot that. The two of you are alone. If the member listened to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses, which is Jewish law. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. In other words, write it off. See, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean you have to go back to the same relationship prior to the offense. Not necessarily, it's nice, but it means you let go. So you can say, as the rabbi did in Fear on the Roof, may God bless and keep the czar far away from us. Bless and keep you, but cross the other street. Right after Jesus outlines heaven's process for forgiving and attaining forgiveness, then Peter asks him, how often do I have to go through this? Peter wonders, as many, 7 times, Lord? No. Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. You get it? Go through the process. Since Peter asked Jesus this question right after Jesus' practical instruction about this process, it can only mean, again, that Peter is wanting to know, how many times have I got to go through that, Lord, with someone who keeps on sinning? It is not just saying, I forgive you, to another who wrongs you, but how often you have to go through that process of telling the other. So that's at stake. And to do it continuously with sensitivity and love, hopefully first alone, then if necessary, then with others. And if that should fail, it's about doing what Jesus would have had us do. Bye. Until and unless you recognize what you've done, I remove myself from him. But we don't want to act like Christ. Few of us like confrontations. Most of us would rather find some way to forgive and forget within ourselves. which doesn't really work very well. It seems so many of us prefer to live in a world of show but don't tell, where we remain more angry with and distant from those who have wronged us than we are willing to tell them. I remember years ago a woman I counseled, and forgiveness and the lack thereof was central to her problem. And I asked her, I'll never forget, I said, in your family, did you ever forgive each other? Did you ever forgive each other? She said, no. We just didn't talk about it anymore. Wow. Still there. Not resolved. We just didn't talk about it anymore. Or as has been said by many families, the less said, the better. Move on. Yeah, but it's still there. Wow. The reason we are to carry out this process not seven times but 77 times is because God wants not only to save the sinner but to heal hearts and, if possible, to restore relationships. As God does not give up on us, thank heavens, so God does not want us to give up on others, certainly not easily. We must work on and out our relationships. As I believe and have said to people in various circumstances who've judged others and even themselves, only God can put a period at the end of a human life. We may want to judge someone and say there's no forgiveness and put a period, but God will turn that period into a comma, a semicolon, a colon, a dash, so that it ain't over yet. So what must we do to receive forgiveness? First, you got to face your own sin. That's what we learn in 1 John, for example. Face what you've done, I've done, and seek forgiveness from violating love. All of us violate love in this or that way. Come on. Who among us loves God with our whole heart, soul, and strength? Who among us truly loves our neighbor as ourself? I don't know anybody. Certainly not me. We need to do as Psalm 51 suggests. Face the truth, then ask for God to forgive us by giving us clean hearts, renewed spirits, and new beginnings. This is exactly what God offers in Jesus Christ. So it's important that we accept God's offer here and now. Yet if you should, but then refuse to pass it on to others, you won't be able to keep God's forgiveness. Your lingering unforgiveness will reject the fragrant presence of forgiveness for you. You must forgive others for God's forgiveness of you to have its full, freeing, healing effect. It's like this. Kind of like taking in food. It's like God's forgiveness is like taking in food, but if you don't swallow, if you refuse to give to others as God has forgiven you, that food will never work through your whole body as forgiveness through your whole soul. Well, do you want a new life in Christ, a fresh start? I do, always, continuously. Then you must let go of the old by forgiving yourself and all others from your past. In your present, you must, if possible, confront those who have wronged you. Now, here's my three R's, folks. If you go, like Jesus says, and confront another, kindly, gently at first, they need to do three things. Recognize, oh, the wrong. Regret it. Oh, I'm sorry. And repent from it. I won't do it again. Recognition, regret, and repentance. Recognize, sorry. But if they refuse, it's your problem. I didn't do anything. Regret, I don't regret it. Kitty had it coming. Or repent, I'll do it again on any occasion. Folks, move away. That person's only going to hurt you again. If you want God to continue giving you new chances, don't refuse those new chances to others. Just that simple. So pray daily, Lord, as I am forgiven, help me so to forgive. And each day, you receive fresh foods of Christ's forgiveness. Right there. Pass it on. Confronting in love and truth where necessary, where possible. By so doing, you will also continuously receive Christ's freedom and peace. By so doing, you will be doing for Christ what Christ seeks to do for you. Forgive. Ah, it's a beautiful, holy word. Friends, if you would like to hear this show again, I will put it on my website this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Or if you have something you would like me to talk about regarding our relationship to God, anything, please write me at drhalgreen, that's Dr. Hal Green, at gmail.com. Wow. I pray that you will be in a forgiving mode of yourself as well as all others. That's what all this is about, because it is God's will to give us new chances like new days every day. Blessings. God bless.
This is your home in the country. KWPC, K23 6CF.